Greetings, friends. In today's program, we're going to talk about our personal conduct as Christians. For some reason, people have this false idea that the law has been done away with. And when I say the law, I mean God's Ten Commandments. People believe that it was nailed to the cross, that the law is no longer in force since we are now under grace. Well, my friends, what that does is it leaves each and every one of us up to our own devices to determine what is good and what is wrong. Because if there is no law teaching us what is good and what is bad, then we are left to our own devices. Well, I'm here to tell you that it is a false doctrine to teach that the law, God's spiritual law, God's eternal law, the Ten Commandments in the spirit of the law, it is a false doctrine to teach that that has been done away with. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll read verses 17 through 28 to help prove this. And this is just the beginning. This is just one of many series of scriptures to disprove this idea that the law has been done away with, and to prove that the law is very much in effect today, in fact, even more so than it was under the Old Testament. Because now God has even expanded the law, so it's not only the letter of the law that has to be kept, but the spirit of the law that has to be kept. And we'll talk about what that spirit of the law is shortly. But here it is, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 28, to begin to give us this correct orientation toward the law. Jesus Christ himself is speaking. Now, there is no greater authority in the scriptures than the word of truth himself. So this is Jesus Christ, the word of truth, the word of God speaking to you. Please listen to what Jesus, the Christ, is saying to you, and not your minister or not even your mom and dad. Because if they've taught you that the law is done away with, they've taught you a lie. It says, "Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets." Now, if Jesus Christ came to destroy the law, it means he had to come to destroy the prophets too, right? But he's telling us, one of the first things he tells us in his ministry is, do not even think, don't even let that come into your mind, that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. Now, are the prophets still around? Yes. So that means also the law is still around. He's using the same argument here. The law and the prophets, they either stand or fall together. He has not come to knock either one of them down. He's come not only to stand them up, but to show you in fullness what they are all about. He goes on to say, and this is Jesus the Christ speaking, "Therefore, whoever shall relax one of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least by those who are in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach the commandments, these same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no way enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, how can your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? Their righteousness was based on the law, right? You are correct. So if your righteousness is to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, that means that you should not only keep the law in the letter, like the Pharisees did, but you should keep the law in the spirit, like Jesus did. Now comes the point where I tell you, what is the spirit of the law? The spirit of the law is love. It's the motivation behind the law. It's the reason why God gave the law. That's what it means, the spirit of the law. Okay, let's go on to see what he says about the law, the letter of it, and the spirit of the law. And when Jesus said he came to fulfill it, that's what he means, is that he came to show you the spirit of the law, the full intent of the law. And this is in verse 21. "You have heard that it was said to the ancients, you shall not kill. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother, or some translations say whoever hates his brother, and here it says whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be liable to the judgment. And whosoever shall say, "You fool," that person shall be liable to be thrown into the lake of fire. That's some serious business. The letter of the law is you shall not kill, but the spirit behind that is don't even hate somebody. In fact, we're going to see that another part, even deeper than that, is to actually love your neighbors, those that hate you, love them, as well as loving, of course, those that love you. Now in verse 27, you have heard that it was said to the ancients, and this is the letter of the law, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, now this is the spirit of the law, that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart, because that's his intention. Even if he doesn't literally do it according to the legal definition, according to the letter, what's written on paper, still if he has the spirit, if that's his intent to commit adultery by lusting after this woman, then it's just as good as having done it. So the spirit of the law is don't even lust after a woman. In fact, the spirit of the law is that if we are married, we should have our focus on our wives and not on some other woman, because that would be committing adultery. Or if we're single, not to be committing fornication in the mind, but to be treating a woman as our sister. All right, not as just some piece of meat to satisfy our desires. That's what God is talking about. Now let's drop down to Matthew chapter 22, and we'll read verse 36 through 40. This is Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36 through 40. And this is about to explain to you that when you profess to be a Christian, you have to obey God's law, because that's what Christianity is all about, is keeping God's law. Now, why do I say that? Because Christ gave the law, right? Everything was created through Christ. So Christ gave the law to his creation, to mankind, to instruct mankind in how to love God and love his fellow human being. That's the expression of God. God is love. God's law is his expression of his love. So if you want to live forever, you have to live the way of love, because that's the way that will be around forever. So let's see this. A person came to Jesus and asked the question, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." In other words, everything that the law and the prophets are talking about, it hangs on these two commandments. It's all about loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. That's what it's all about. That's why I say, if you want to live eternally, then you have to choose to live the way of love, because God is love, and that's the way of life that's going to be around forever. Now, let's go on to Romans chapter 13, and we'll read verse 8 through 10, because some people still might ask, well, this isn't saying, when it talks about loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself, that this is referring to the Ten Commandments in the letter and spirit of the law. Well, hold on a second. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, indeed shows that the two great commandments are simply the foundation, and the expansion of them are the first four commandments talk about loving God. And then the last six commandments talk about loving our neighbors. So the two great commandments are the foundation, and then you have a further explanation by the first four being the first great commandment, loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and then the last six of the Ten Commandments being the expression of the second great commandment, which is loving your neighbor as yourself. Let's see this. Paul is speaking here, and he says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another person has fulfilled the law, meaning he has gotten it right. What is the spirit, the intent behind the law? He's filling up the whole purpose of the law. And he goes on to equate this loving your neighbor as yourself with the Ten Commandments, and specifically some of the last commandments out of the six of the last Ten Commandments. He says here, for do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, and do not bear false witness. Do not lust. And if there is any other commandment, it's summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So you see here a very clear correlation between loving your neighbor as yourself and it being defined as the keeping of the last six commandments in the letter and spirit of the law. Now let's drop down to Matthew chapter 19, and we'll read verses 16 through 19. This is Matthew chapter 19 and verses 16 through 19. This is another person that comes to Jesus. And he asked the question, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said to him, well, why are you calling me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. So in other words, if you think I'm good, you're going to follow my good advice. And if you follow my good advice, then it's because you accept me as God in the flesh, the Son of God, the Son of Man. All right, so he goes on to say, if you want to enter into eternal life, then keep the commandments. And this person asked him, well, which commandments are you talking about? Jesus answered, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. In other words, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus fully explained that loving your neighbor as yourself is synonymous with keeping the last six out of the Ten Commandments. Now we'll see one more witness testifying to the fact that the law is not done away with, but to the contrary, Christ came to fulfill the law and to teach us how to fulfill the law, and he also instructed us to teach others to fulfill the law. So keeping of the law is very important when we define what is good conduct. And this is in James, the second chapter, and verses 8 through 11. This is the book of James, the second chapter, and verses 8 through 11. It says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, then you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of being a transgressor of all of the law. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. So if you don't commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. And my friends, you do not want to be a transgressor of the law, because the wages of sin is death, and sin is the transgression of the law. Well, we'll have more to say about this in our next program. I thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.